Hello, welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. How are you doing, Jermaine?
What? Caramel kids, what devil, what are you saying?
I'm in a good mood. It's all looking up here. Ooh. In the town of Amsterdam. I'm happy. I've got a race this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a marathon race, which is just a trial training run, but it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to everything. And you said your dog's off at the grooming centre. Is that right?
Yeah. I dropped him off to get a poodle cat.
Lovely.
To get a poodle.
Sounds nice. I hope he's enjoying it.
He's the only male dog with diamond bling necklace.
Man's not hot if he's wearing those.
Man's not hot. I like that.
With all that ice, he's not hot. Anyway, how's things going? How's work been? How's driving them buses going?
I'm a bit crazy, but so Charing Cross Road, there's a pub called The Runaway.
Yeah.
And next to it, there's a shop. It's a quirky shop. It's called Child of Django.
Yeah.
So I'm driving past. Obviously, traffic's always bad. And they've got these outfits in 1950s, 1960s stuff. But it's new. They've obviously designed them. They're new clothes, but designed them to look old.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm like, okay. And you go along. And it's all the mannequins. Wearing normal, And then all of a sudden, you see a corset with spikes and chains on it.
Yeah. And you're like, which is more your kind of thing, right?
I was like, oh, wow. All right. So every time I go another down, I've always got an eye out for this mannequin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going back the other way and traffic's really slow again. And this guy's walking up the street and he's looking at the mannequins. And then he sees the one in the corset.
Yeah.
And he always looks away, embarrassment, because he doesn't want anyone else to see him looking. Yeah. So I had to give him a little toot.
Did you give him the eyes? Did you point in your eyes and look at him? I know. I've seen you. I've seen you checking out that for way too long. Yeah.
I got a napkin out and dabbled my lip. Wipe up the.
So we know if you're walking down Charing Cross Road, we know you're looking in that shop. We know what you're looking at. You were wearing in them football boots last week. Did it go all right? Have you played since?
No, Sunday, but it's a match Sunday. They get a good wear out down the line.
Yeah.
Up and down. Yeah.
As the lino, yeah, perfect, excellent. Well, we got an exciting show today because we're launching a competition with the help of Saw Running. So Saw Running make amazing running gear. You should check them out. We're gonna be talking to Tim on the show. Tim is the founder of Saw, and he's gonna talk to you about what they're about, but also this competition. But what we're going to do is launch a grassroots hero competition. So behind all the athletes, behind us runners, there are people who work tirelessly to help promote the sport and to help us enjoy what we're doing. So I know for certain I've had loads of people who have helped me throughout my career who don't get any credit, and I probably don't give them enough credit myself. But we want to recognise those people. So over the next month, we want you to nominate your grassroots heroes. So me and Jermaine are going to talk about ours in a minute, but and Tim's going to talk to you about exactly how to enter. There's three ways, essentially. You can either enter on social media, and Tim's going to talk to you about how to do that. We're going to have a WhatsApp line, so we're going to have a phone number you can leave a recorded message for. How about that?
Don't worry, people. It's not my mobile, so don't worry.
And the final way is to register on the form. But I mean, Tim's going to go through all this in a bit of detail. But we want you to email it. And what's going to happen is Tim's going to announce that there's going to be a prize, and also we're going to try and interview your grassroots hero on the show. So not only will they and you win a prize, which is exciting, but also
two prizes, two for one. That's a good offer.
So they're going to get lucky, you're going to get lucky, but also we're going to interview that person on the show. So we want to shed some light on those in across the world, people across the world. I know we're from Britain and we have a British experience, but across the world, we take any from anywhere who make your life in running better without much thanks. Essentially, that's what we want. Now, who do you think, who's your hero, Jimmy? Who inspired you to take up the sport and who has helped you in your enjoyment of running?
Well, starting off to get running, Larry Garm and Ken Pike.
Yeah, cool.
So Ken used to be my school teacher.
Yeah.
And he's not like on the shelf teacher. He's like, the back alley teacher. So, I like this guy.
And he inspired you to run. He got you running.
Guys, well, Larry Garman was the, because I used to turn up to cross countries, and Larry Garman was, I remember him telling me, he goes, this guy is going to win this race. He says, I want you to stay with him. So I was like, all right. So I stay with this guy, and it's at Parliament Hill. He runs straight up the hill, but we was in a little loop first, so everyone else turned left. So we'd gone the wrong way straight away, and then obviously that guy went and won.
Yeah.
And so I was like way back, and I was saying, oh, that was rubbish. I said thanks a lot for the tip. Yeah. But yeah, but since, so Ken and Larry worked together.
Yeah.
And then because obviously Larry coached McDonald's League, Lewisham AC, and obviously they're trying to get the school kids into athletics and stuff.
Okay.
So together they were really good, and once they finished school level, then obviously Larry would try to get them to join Kent AC, which we'll see where Kent was in charge.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And everyone in Ross's running will probably have heard Ken shouting at various races. He's got a loud holler. And he's a great guy. I trained down Lady Well with Ken.
The funny stories, Ken is like crazy, but we was in the change room, we were little. And we always like sitting, like, obviously he's our teacher, right?
Yeah.
And he'd come out, like, when you're in the running change rooms, the men obviously shower together and come out.
Yeah.
But when you're kids, you don't shower, you just go home and do it.
Yeah.
So we're there, obviously Ken comes out, start boiling naked, and we're like, oh boy, this is our maths teacher, yeah. And he's naked, and he's drying his balls in front of us, you know? And he's just like talking away, scrubbing, you know, like scrubbing himself. And he used to hang his wire fronts on the hook. You know, like where you put your coat. So me and my mate were like, nah. He says, that pikey, goes, we got to sort him out. So what we did, he hung his pants on the hook, went in the shower, we got him out, we got his pants, and we stole his pants. But we just shoved him in someone's bag, but we didn't know whose bag we shoved him. We just shoved him in someone's bag. And then obviously he came out, he had no pants, and he was like, and it was so he went, but after that he still showered, but he never put his pants on the hook. And then the kicker was about 5 or 6 years later, we're at a British Lynn.
Yeah.
And then I'm telling everyone this story. He says, oh yeah, Ken used to hang his pants up, and we stole his pants, we stuck it in someone's bag. And then someone went, hang on, he says, a couple of years ago I came home from training, and there was some smelly old pants in my bag. He says I had to fish them out of a stick, he goes. And we were like, oh, they must be Ken's then.
But other than losing his pants, he was a great guy. He was a good guy to you, and he looked after like loads of guys at Kent AC.
Yeah, good motivation. Guy. Yeah. And obviously he got people wanted to join Kent AC, obviously, to be like part of Ken's training group and stuff. So obviously he had good, and obviously and the British League got good. Yeah. So Ken's energy helped.
Yeah, get everyone going. Yeah,
and you?
Well, mine's similar. I was going to say Ben Pochi. Ben is obviously he's part of my club, Highgate Harriers. And without Ben, we had a period of success, and it was due to just him being like a massive club presence. Like He'd make sure you raced. He got you out to all the races. He encouraged you. He was friendly. Like, he was always like an older brother to you. He was a brilliant guy there. And obviously he's gone on with this Night of the 10Ks to really be an inspirational figure behind the scenes in British athletics. If you don't know about the Night of the 10Ks, search it online. But it's a grassroots night of incredible 10,000 metre running in Highgate. It's happening in July this year. And it's Ben's behind that. He's set up the event and he's got that going. So I think Ben is one person I certainly think has been inspiring to me. But also my first ever coach, again, is a PE teacher. My PE teacher, he got me running. I snuck into his running club because my mate was really good at running and he wouldn't go without me. So I snuck in and joined in for a few sessions and I managed to get good on his training. But yeah, he was a great guy. His guy's Neil Blair. Down in Dorset, and yeah, I never stole his pants, but he was an inspirational figure to me. We should let Tim describe what's going on. And also our interview after that is another, for me, like grassroots, an inspirational figure in the world of running. A lot of people know him, Kev Quinn. Kev had a problem with his heart. He's going to describe it all in the interview. And he's since gone on, since having an operation, he's had a machine fitted in his heart to enable it to operate at 100% of its function. Since that's happened, he's managed to reduce his PBs across a range of distances. So really inspirational story. He's going to talk about that after a quick chat with Tim, who's going to set the scene for the Grassroots Hero competition. Here we go. So we are chatting today to Tim Saw. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing very well, Sean. Pleasure to be on the programme or great the stuff. Podcast.
Excellent. And you are the founder of Saw Running. Can you give us a bit of background on Saw?
We launched in 2015. I've been doing a year of R&D before that. And I was a road cyclist in the sort of the late 90s, early noughties. Moved over to running and was just wanted better kit, better, nicer looking kit. So I thought, well, I should do it myself. Yeah. And thus Saw was born.
Great. And so you said it's been going now for how many years?
So we'll be coming up for our fourth year of trading this June, end of June.
Great. And then can you kind of, is there an ethos to Saw? Is there kind of an overriding, message behind the stuff you're creating?
Yeah, I suppose when I first started it, I wanted kit that looked a bit different from what else was out there. And obviously wanted it to work well. I've always been a product geek, if you like, from whatever area of design I've been working in. And coming from menswear, which is a very kind of product-focused, is much more product-focused perhaps than womenswear. So I wanted the product to be nice. As we've gone on, I've realized that there's a great deal of opportunity to make the kit that works significantly better than most other things on the market.
Right.
And, you know, that is because most of the big brands put all their money into shoe R&D, understandably, and very little money into clothing R&D. So what is it? What would I say it's now? I'd say I want to, you know, push the envelope as hard as possible, if you can push an envelope hard, or as much as possible, right, whatever the right wording for that is.
Yeah.
Push it as much as possible to come up with really new and really innovative kit that still has to look great too.
Great. And you give a lot of support to the grassroots scene in the UK. Talk about your support for various running clubs in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, that was absolutely sort of blindingly obvious to me when I was doing R&D for the brand, and it still hasn't changed, was, you know, that much as Mo Farah is a great runner, much as Usain Bolt's a great runner, that's not the runners I see around me in my everyday life. Mm. The runners I see around me and the runners I aspire to be are, you know, the people who are a bit or somewhat better than me, and those will be club runners or everyday runners, whatever. Mm. So I was really adamant that I wanted Saw to interact with the sport in the way that most runners do, rather than just be obsessed with the Olympics and, you know, those tiny group of very, very elite runners. Mm. So I've always, you know, we've always tried to interact with the sport on a club level, and we've done that more and more successfully as our team's expanded and we've got better contacts within that world. So we now sponsor with kit some running clubs who we're interested in, who we think have got, you know, interesting teams. We will give them our best race kit, and that acts both as an R&D department for us, and B, is better race kit than as a club runner most of them would generally be running, because most club kit is generally pretty poor quality, no offense.
I know exactly what you're saying. Exactly what you're saying. And you're aiming to support competition too, is that right? Obviously the Saw Mile is now a fixture in the calendar, but also you support the night of the 10Ks. Talk a bit about the Saw Mile. What's that about?
So the Saw Mile, I would say is a flagrant, was flagrantly born off doing night of the 10,000 meter PBs and going, my God, why aren't all running races like this? Because this is how they should be. You know, the night of 10,000 meter PBs is one of the most exciting sporting events I've ever been to, full stop, period. So we thought, let's do something with a shorter distance, so it could be more open to really everyday runners. Anyone can run a mile. You know, it's very hard to run it very fast, but anyone can run a mile. So we wanted it to be very open to people who maybe not used to the track, because running on the track's, you know, very different experience to running on the road or running cross country or trail.
Absolutely.
And it's 10 races, 10 races which get faster and faster and faster throughout the evening, with music and free beers and, you know, as much of a relaxed party atmosphere as you can make it. Once you've run your mile, you know, have a few beers and cheer the other people on.
Excellent.
And we're very lucky to have been given the warm-up track by the London Olympic Stadium, which, you know, a lot of people won't have run on because it's quite hard to get access to it. So it's a, you know, an iconic location as well.
And when is that this year then?
It is on August the 2nd of August, Rob's telling me, 2nd of August. So Excellent. It's a summer, it's always end of July, early August timing for it.
Great. And you'll again be involved with the 10,000 metre PBs this year?
Hell yes. Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah, so we will, I mean, we do, I guess we try to own the back straights.
Mm.
We have, you know, a strong music component to it, because that's very much part of, you know, my and the brand's DNA. Mm. We will be putting exhibitors, photographs we shot at last year's event. We'll be exhibiting those along the back straight as well. Yeah, so it's an amazing event. And, you know, I hope it shows the way to, you know, the IAAF and, you know, anyone else who might be caring to pay attention. This is the way that you know, running an athletics event should be in the future.
Excellent. So we're running this grassroots hero campaign. Why did you guys get involved? Are you obviously, you mentioned you saw support grassroots running, and you're interested in the people that, you know, thanklessly run and churn away miles and are at the top of the sport. What sort of people do you think we should look to honour in this campaign?
Yeah, it totally sort of mirrors our focus on grassroots running. Mm. And, you know, there's plenty of people who, you know, for me personally, who have helped me improve my running for no greater gain than just but they wanted to share their love of running as well.
Yeah.
So what I hope it does is, you know, that we all know there's unsung heroes in the sport who are there kind of grafting day in, day out to make it a better thing.
Yeah.
And what I'm hoping is it gives those people a big pat on the back, frankly, because the sport can't exist except, you know, without the grassroots, the sport's not going to exist.
Exactly.
And it seems to me that at the moment, the grassroots is an area that is somewhat neglected by the sports administrative organisations.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there should be more stuff going on, and anything we can do to help support that, we will do so.
So in order for people to nominate their heroes, we've got three ways of entering. The first is to fill in a form on a webpage, which I'm going to read out now. It is www.letsgetrunning.co.uk/grassroots-hero. I'll put these links on the show notes. If you go through one of our social posts, you'll see that. So fill in the form there with all the details about why you think this person deserves some recognition. So the second way you can do that is through a social post. And all you do is nominate your grassroots hero, and you tag in saw_running. That's right, Tim?
Yes, correct.
And at Let's Get Running as well. And if you can use the hashtag grassroots hero, all one word, all the better. And the third way you can do it is actually by sending us a recorded WhatsApp voice message. So I'm going to give you a number now. It is a Dutch number, but through WhatsApp, obviously, is no extra cost for you. It's +31 617 116 121. And if you leave a message through there, we will be able to play a few of those for the show. So you get your voice featured anyway. So as well as recognising the nominator and the nominee, we're going to try and interview you both to appear on the show in a month's time for the winner, the person we think's got the best case. People can also win a prize. And what's that prize that we're giving away to both of those parties?
It is one of our Elite Tempo Tops, which is an unashamedly sore product. It's very technical. It's designed for high intensity running in cold weather, and I came upon the design idea when I was doing park runs in the middle of winter. Yeah. And I didn't really want to do it in a vest, but and I wanted a really close fitting, really technical top that would keep me a little bit warm, but would be completely would not restrict my running at all. And thus the Temper Top was born, and it's been one of our best sellers.
Excellent. Okay. So get your M nominations in. The closing date we have is Tuesday, the 16th of April. So get your entries in before that date. Great. So both nominate and nominee win one of those tops. So get your nominations in quickly. And fingers crossed you'll have a chance of winning. Thanks for being a part of this, Tim. It's good to have you guys on board supporting the grassroots running scene.
A pleasure, Sean.
So on this week's show, we are talking to a guy that's been described... I recently looked back at a tweet, Kevin, you were described as the nicest bloke in running.
It wasn't me tweeting, was it?
Yeah, it was under a pseudonym. You're right. It was slightly different, changed name. But yeah, but you're a South London Harrier. You're a man on the scene for a long time. It's nice to chat.
Yeah, likewise. Definitely, yeah. Nice to catch up with you, Sean.
You too. And you're preparing for London this year.
I am, yeah, really looking forward to it. So I haven't done London for a while, actually. I did it in 2015. So, yeah, very excited to give London a bash.
And you're born in London, right? So you're a London boy.
Well, I was born in Chelmsford, so Essex, Essex boy. Lived there for, I don't know, maybe, I think we were there for about a year. And then, yeah, moved to London. And, yeah, I am a London boy.
Yeah, I think it counts. These days... London's spreading out across the country, so that's I think Chelmsford counts. Hey? And is the training going well?
Training's going really well. Yeah, it's going great. Got a great group around here. Sort of Carl Shorten, actually. We've got a good little 6 a.m. club. Yeah. Myself, Kojo, Dan Gaffney, Tom Higgs. Really good group. So training going good.
And you don't always train at 6 a.m. right? There is a bit of variation in that. It's not. You know, stick draconianly to the 6 a.m. rule.
To be honest, I try and get out most mornings, like 5:45, 6 a.m. Having kind of three kids, that's my kind of window to get out. So yeah, I try and do it first thing in the morning if I can.
And logistically, getting up at 4:45, what time is your bedtime, Kev? What time do you have to go to bed after that?
Oh, God, I don't know. Once you have kids, you realise that sleep is overrated, you know? So, it's about 9:30, 10 o'clock. Yeah. But then Christ knows how many times I wake up in the night by the kids. You know, you don't know what one of them is going to be in your bed or, you know, if you wake up in their bed because they're unsettled. So, sleep is just, once you have children, sleep is just overrated. If you haven't got kids, make the most of it now.
Yeah. I'm on that slippery slope, unfortunately, but hey, I'll talk to you in 3 years, see if I'm still the same. Anyway, so you also ran, we both ran at Frankfurt last year. What are you doing? Yeah. Are you doing anything differently? Because you did 2:24 you ran then, and did you get to 30K and things started to go a bit downhill? Have you changed anything as a result of that?
Well, Frankfurt was, I was in real good shape going into Frankfurt, but I actually had a viral infection that kind of only presented itself a few days after. So I came up with all these, this funny rash. I had a thing like a Herald patch, it was just a horrible looking rash all over my body. So I think I ran Frankfurt with this virus. So I think 2:24 wasn't a bad run actually under the circumstances.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't really changed too much. Just, I guess, listening to my body. Once I start feeling a bit run down, I let Richard Partridge know, who kindly coaches me.
Yeah.
And he kind of tells me to take my foot off the pedal and just, you know, maybe just a few days of easy running, no sessions.
Yeah. Okay. What is your, you know, people sort of talk about being a high mileage runner or sort of looking at specific marathon sessions. What is your, how would you kind of summarize your approach to training for marathons?
I'm a big fan of big mileage. If I can get away with it, I'd like to run, 90, 100, more every single week. Sometimes it's difficult with a family life, but I kind of, two sessions a week and a decent Sunday run. That's kind of yeah, like Richard's build up, really.
Yeah. And what about those long runs? Are they quite specific to marathon? Are they marathon pace or just getting them up?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be parts of it where, you know, we try and get close to marathon pace, but, you know, just kind of solid, you know, maybe 20 miles in kind of 2 hours, just strong, decent, you know, just decent long runs, really.
Yeah, okay. And you mentioned that getting up at 5:45 to fit things in. How do you fit in 90 miles, 100 miles around work? It must be pretty tough going.
Yeah, well, again, try and get most of it done in the morning. So, you know, a morning run may consist of maybe between 8 to 10 miles, yeah. And then try and get out later on in the evening, yeah. or on the way from home. Yeah. I might phone up Gab and sort of tell her that I'm stuck in traffic, and then try and get in a sneaky 30 minutes beforehand, you know, before I get home, you know, whatever needs must. But
what is, yeah, work? I mean, where do you work?
So my work, I've got a company called Real Runners, and we work in schools. So we deliver kind of after school clubs, before school clubs. We're an athletics provider within Southwest London. And we've got a great team, got, you know, some of the coaches, some of the athletes at St Mary's University, we subcontract the workout to them. And they come into schools with us and kind of act as positive role models of, you know, work hard at something, what can be achieved.
Yeah, nice. And then do you find then you're around kids all day, and then, you know, you obviously have three kids yourself. How, like, do you find yourself talking like a child or talking in a certain language because you spend so much time with children?
Yeah, I don't know. God, I haven't really thought about that. Maybe like a child. So,
take everything down to its absolute basics, explain everything in full detail.
Yeah, a bit of both, really. Yeah, I mean, you know, we like to get our kids to bed quite early at 7 o'clock, so then we can have a little bit of adult time and maybe adult conversation, you know, rather than chat about, you know, Topsy and Tim or, you know, what's on TV.
Can you fit doubles in then? Can you manage double runs?
Yeah, I think the thing is, if you do go out kind of, you know, 5:45 and you get your run in before work, you know, then you can, you know, your lunch break, or if you've got a spare hour here and there, you just try and get it done. I've got a few mates kind of take the mickey out of me, but I say to them, you know, everyone has 24 hours in the day, and it's how best you kind of prioritize that, you know. I think that applies to all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously it's working, because you just come off the back of a big result at Armagh in the 5k. What time did you run?
Around 14:39 there.
Nice.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who haven't done that, but what's it like?
It's nuts. Yeah. Absolute nuts. Brilliant. It's a great race, and they've been very good to Real Runners for many years, the organisers there. I've seen it grow to what it is today. But it's a great race. I mean, if you can do it and, you know, you kind of run the standard, I'd encourage everyone to do it.
Yeah. What is that standard then?
I think, well, I'm not too sure. I'm kind of speaking to the organisers. I think they may have two races next year. One sub 15 minutes, one sub 16 minutes. But, I mean, they had, 212 guys, I think, entered that all broken 16 minutes. It was, it's just... Yeah, it's crazy. I think, you know, you arrive there beforehand, there's just not much going on. It's very quiet. And then all of a sudden, you know, everyone is out, you know, in a mile. It's just crazy. I mean, this year, I must have gone through the first mile close to 4:30. Couldn't even see the leaders. They were just gone. You know, I clearly blew up bad. But it's just so fast. It's great. Yeah. I'd encourage anyone to do it.
Shows what can be done with road races if you put your mind to it, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, it's kind of going that way. You know, looking at kind of the rankings already this year, it's pretty impressive. And I think it's just a case of getting, you know, your good runners together and just, you know, all trying to push and edge one another on.
Yeah, exactly. And actually that result has given you like a full set of PBs since your surgery, which is amazing. So
yeah,
5k to marathon.
Yeah, that's great. Like last kind of 24 months after having surgery, it's been nuts, really.
And I've launched in by saying your surgery without really explaining to the listeners what your surgery has been. What happened to you exactly?
So I had my heart was damaged. I had a defect, a heart defect called an atrial septal defect, which is essentially a hole in the heart, in the upper chambers of the heart. It was quite a big hole. It was just under 1.8 centimeters. And I've had it all my life, never knew about it. So the surgery involved then popping a device between the two chambers to stop the crossover of blood flow. So I was essentially having a mixture of deoxygenated and oxygenated blood going back and forth between the both sides of the heart. So they've sorted it out, and heart now is working as it should.
Whoa! So there's still something in there. There's still the machinery still working.
Yeah. So I've got a device. Yeah. So there's a device in there. It's basically they just patched me up. To stop the blood from crossing over. So what was happening is you get blood coming in the right side, deoxygenated blood coming into the right side of the heart, goes into the lungs. The lungs will oxygenate it. Then you have oxygenated blood that leaves the left side of the heart, goes to the working muscles. I was kind of losing about 25% every heartbeat of that oxygenated blood.
Wow.
It was getting fed It's getting fed back into the right side.
Yeah.
And then what that was causing was it was damaging the right side of my heart. It was massively enlarged. The blood vessels in my lungs were being damaged, and it was a real fortunate find.
Wow. So how did they find it then?
So I did London Marathon in 2015. And after the race, just didn't feel great. I was getting problems with my chest, my breathing. And being a typical bloke, I just kind of put it off.
Yeah.
And then one day I kind of called up my doctor and just said, look, you know, I'm having problems here. My dad unfortunately died when he was 52 of a heart attack. And having children, it kind of prompted me to get it sorted out.
Yeah.
So they sent me off for an ECG. And it come back not quite right. I was waiting to see a cardiologist, but in the meantime, a friend encouraged me to go to a fantastic charity called Cardiac Risk in the Young. So I went and paid them a visit. They did an ECG and actually said to me that one thing had flagged up, but based on the results, they thought, you know, my heart was okay. Yeah. Kind of sent me packing. As I was leaving, there was a young student nurse who was scanning. She was comparing people, general public and athletes' heart. She wanted to scan my heart. And she said, is there any chance we can scan your heart? I said, yeah, no problem. She took me in a room, kind of was chatting away to her. Then next thing I knew, she kind of stopped talking to me, asked me to take a seat to the side. I thought, this is a bit odd. And then she called in about three or four cardiologists come in. And one of the guys who kind of missed it, he kind of turned around and said, look, really sorry, but we kind of missed this. You've got four holes in your heart.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
You know, one of them's pretty big. We kind of need to sort this out. Yeah. ASAP.
How did you react to that news?
I kind of, I thought they were kind of having a bit of a joke. It was like, really? Guys, just run 225 at London, and you know, and I'm really disappointed with that. Yeah. So like and they kind of, they were like, well, it's pretty amazing really that you can run and you've been able to run that fast. It's, we don't quite know the science behind that.
Wow.
I remember kind of calling up my wife, said to Gab, like, sorry, I'm not home yet. They've just found that some holes in my heart need to have heart surgery.
Wow.
And then calling up Kojo, who is, kind of works in cardiology, and Kojo's just such a lovely guy. He kind of talked me through it, and it's kind of been my right hand man ever since.
Wow. Was it immediately? So then, having discovered these holes, what was the next step?
So I found out at the end of October. And then I had quite a few consultation meetings and testing leading up to it. And then I had surgery surgery, I think it was like beginning of February. I actually tried to do the Southerns just beforehand. I thought, right, I'd do the Southerns and I'll try and see how this goes.
For anyone that doesn't know the Southerns, it's 15K cross country. Was it at Parliament Hill as well?
Parliament Hill,
One of the toughest cross country races you can possibly do. Jeez. How did you manage?
I managed about a mile and then stopped. Yeah. I just thought, what am I doing? I'm going in for heart surgery, you know, like in 6 days' time. This is stupid. and then had the surgery and, a couple of years later, it's always, you know, running better than ever.
Wow. And obviously, they said you can get back to running, you can do it safely, but does it impact you having this? The device in your heart at all?
Well, I think what's happened, it, just for the better, really, whereas now kind of the ratio of blood coming in and, you know, the deoxygenated blood coming in and oxygenated blood going into the chamber and then leaving the chamber and entering the body, the ratio is 1-1, whereas before I was losing, you know, kind of 25% of every heartbeat, I was losing 25% of oxygen. So now, you know, I definitely... you know, kind of recovering better, which is ironic because I'm getting old. I'm just running faster. So it's you know, it's certainly improved my running. It's almost like a legal EPO, I suppose.
Yeah. And when did you start again after the surgery?
So I took 12 weeks out, not running at all. And then gradually built it up. So I think I started running again in May. Just kind of got back into running. I actually did my first race back was the Surrey Lee cross country, and I won it, and I hadn't, you know, I've been trying to win that race for 20 years. I remember kind of winning that, and then a few months later running just over 50 minutes at the Great South. It was just like, this is nuts, you know.
So you felt stronger then, you think?
Yeah, straight away. Just felt much better. Much stronger. Yeah. I guess having a working heart, you know, a heart that's actually working properly kind of helps.
Yeah, not a 75% effective heart. 100% effective makes a big difference. That's incredible. And when you first started pushing, so the first sessions and your first races, did it cross your mind that, you know, this... there's a thing in there. There's something in there, and I hope it works. Do you know what I mean? Did that ever cross your mind?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it's kind of, and even now, you know, I am still aware of it. You know, kind of doing Wokingham Half at the weekend, kind of kicking, you know, that last 100 meters. It's like, you know, don't overdo this. You know, you've got kind of your heart condition here. So I'm aware of it, but at the same time, kind of, you know, I'm grateful that I'm still running really well and kind of want to make the most of it whilst I can.
And did they say if left unchecked, I mean, obviously you said your father died young, did they say what it would have led to if you hadn't come in and had that?
So I guess the right side of my heart was massively dilated, which kind of was showing signs of heart failure. Wow. So just because it's being so overworked with the excessive blood flow going back into that right side, it's, you know, it's having to work hard then to push it back into the lungs. So my right side of my heart was really enlarged. And then I guess the main issue was a clot bypassing the hole and then finding its way to the brain, skipping through the lungs and not being broken down, bypassing that hole. And the hole was so big there was a kind of a big possibility that could have happened.
Jeez. And I guess you got a new perspective on life and running then from that.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of grateful for all of it, really.
Yeah.
Make the most of it, I guess.
Yeah. And now being new and refreshed and having a second lease of life, like, what is your motivation now? What do you want to do with your running over the next few years? What's your drive?
I'd love to the next thing is to go to London Marathon. I'd love to break 220. That I'll certainly try for that. So yeah, goal wise, I'd like to break 220, and then I'd like to break 65 minutes. You know, that's kind of long term. That's kind of the thing. Like, I can do that. That'd be great. That'd be the icing on the cake. I guess go under 66, hopefully by the end of the year, and then maybe have a bash at sub 65 next year.
Cracking.
And then, yeah, and then maybe just enjoy just recreational running after that.
Yeah, fantastic. It's nice to almost be starting off like a clean slate and going again, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, like I get quite a few people saying to me, oh, you know, aren't you gutted that you didn't find this out in your 20s? But, you know, I'm not really at all. I'm just very grateful that it has been found, and, you know, touch wood that, you know, the chances of having a stroke or heart failure now are slim.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Fantastic. And we're doing, kind of, we try and give listeners tips as well as like talk through stories and things. We're trying to give listeners tips about to help them improve their running. Like, and obviously you are deep in marathon training. Do you have a key session or perhaps a series of sessions that you do in your build up, or even like a tip? Could be anything really, from mental to physical, that might help people improve their marathon performance.
Yeah, I guess, you know, kind of sessions that Richard sets me that, you know, works well for me is kind of 10 by 3 minutes off a minute, trying to keep that minute kind of active. So I do that quite a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of, yeah, if you kind of hit those 3 minutes and sub 5 minute miling, I tend to know that I'm going quite well.
Yeah.
In terms of tip, best thing I can suggest is kind of listen to your body. You know, it's your body. Yeah. You are the best judge of how you are feeling. You know, and it's okay to have rest days, which, you know, sometimes I probably need to listen to my own advice.
Yeah. Says the man who did the Southern Cross Country 15K 6 days before heart surgery.
Yeah. I didn't finish. I didn't finish.
You listened to your body halfway through.
Yeah. I did end up in St. John's Ambulance, and they were like, what are you doing? So,
but you've learned that now. This is a new you.
This is it. Yeah. Definitely. It's a new me. New me. Just there.
Yeah. And with the London, like having sort of, obviously you went well at Frankfurt. Is there anything you want, like mentally, are you preparing in any particular way that's going to, I don't know, you're thinking how you're mentally going to deal with the difficult points in the race, or have you got any ideas for how you're going to try and push beyond that 30k this time?
I guess just believe in the process, really believe in the training that you've done. You know, for me, the next 6 weeks, if I can get some decent training close to 100 miles, I think the speed's there, kind of running 66 and being great.
Yeah.
If I can just get, you know, some big mileage, some decent long runs behind me, then hopefully, kind of stand on that start line and you know, you've ticked all those boxes.
Yeah.
And kind of soldier on, really.
Yeah, should be away. Nice one. Well, yeah, I've got three quick fire questions.
Yeah.
To ask. And the first one is, if you could be anywhere running now, where would that be?
Probably King's Park in Perth. Beautiful place. So lovely. Really, really lovely place. Lovely backdrop. Weather's usually good. So that was a wonderful place to run at.
Fantastic.
Or Richmond Park. I don't know if anyone, you know, hot day in Richmond Park. Again, you could be anywhere in the world. It's beautiful there.
Yeah, full of good runners as well. People, Richmond and Bushy, you know, top international runners. That's it, yeah. Passing around the outside.
Great, see the likes of John Gilbert kind of, you know, just ploughing through kind of 5 minute miling around there, you know. It's great. You do see tons of good runners around there. So if you're lucky in the summer, quite often you see some of the East Africans that the, you know, over from the pace look after, you know, again running in there, and oh my god,
he's just trying around. I remember when it was 2012 when I was out. I used to live in East London in Victoria Park, which isn't a big place for running necessarily, but because it was the place to for the guys to do their morning runs, the athletes from the village, you just go out there and you'd be jogging around Victoria Park, and you'd have Kenenisa Bekele running around, and you'd have like a bunch of other Ethiopians running around, and you'd have these Kenyans running around, and because they all thought that was where the athletes went. You literally, I remember shouting out to some, I scared the life out of some Ethiopians, but I spoke to this Thomas Longasiwa. Do you remember that name, Kenyan fella?
Yeah, I do remember that name, yeah.
I shouted to him, hello, Thomas. And he stopped me and he said, and we started chatting and he said, so what time's your heat? And I was like, no, I don't think I'm that good. I'm nothing like you, Thomas. I'm just someone that just shouts at people in the park. And he's like, oh, okay then, all right. And then he just ran off. But a good place to be.
Oh, fantastic. I remember in Teddington, there was a time, there was a guy, I don't know if you remember, a guy called John Yuda. And I think he won the Commonwealth Games. And he was sponsored by Puma, and he'd left his bike outside Tesco's after a training session, hadn't locked it up.
Yeah.
Anyhow, popped into the shop, did his shopping. As he came back, he said some bloke had stolen his bike.
Yeah.
And he looked up, and the guy was about 100 metres away. And anyhow, John Yuda chased him 5 miles. And,
did he get him?
Caught him. Yeah, he caught him. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of that Richmond Bushy Park. It's just, it's just a real running magnet.
Yeah. So the message for any bike thieves in the Richmond area, watch whose bike you take, because you never know who it's going to be. could be the Commonwealth champ.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So he ran about 5 miles, he said, in about 23 minutes, you know, so it's caught the guy up downhill.
God. And our second question, I should get back to the questions, is recommend our listeners something. So it can be anything from something physical, like a book or film, or to like an experience that people should try.
Yeah, kind of books and films. Having three kids, you know, 3, 5, and 7, the only kind of books and films that we watch are kids' films, you know, like Coco. Like, Coco's a great film, by the way. If anyone wants to watch a brilliant kids' movie, watch that. We went to the cinema and I looked over and both Gabby and I were in tears and the kids were like, what's going on, mate? You know, it's the storyline's lost on them. And, you know, books, Julia Donaldson, you know, Squash and a Squeeze, or, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Roald Dahl. We, you know, really, I don't really get time to read much.
Yeah.
I am reading a really good book, actually, at the moment, called I Am Pilgrim, which, is a really good book, actually, Terry Hayes. So, I'd recommend that if anyone wants a good read.
Good stuff. And the final question is, what, in your opinion, is the greatest endurance performance of all time?
I think fairly obvious. Eliud Kipchoge's marathon, 201, Berlin.
Yeah.
Just, you know, being a marathon runner, just the fact that those guys run that fast, where he runs that fast, is just nuts.
Yeah.
It's beyond me.
It's crazy. Every single marathon I've done, I've stopped at the line and my legs have almost given way underneath me. Well, you know, I can barely walk. Running's done then, the last meter. Wasn't he finished and then he was running around celebrating with the crowd and he looked like he'd just been out for like a Sunday run. Like, on my Sunday runs, I look more tired than he looked.
It's crazy. Yeah. My 5:45 a.m. runs, we're running about 10-minute miling. Yeah, it's crazy to kind of see them, how they're able to kind of celebrate and, kind of running so fast. But I guess, you know, you hear about all these stories of their training and what they're doing. It's just, it's just insane. Yeah. So, for me, Eliud Kipchoge, definitely.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, nice one for chatting, Kev. It's good to catch up your training, and fingers crossed the next few weeks are big and you're ready for London in a couple of weeks' time.
Thanks, Sean. You too. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been great.
So nice couple of interviews there. Everyone should have the details there for entering the Grassroots Hero Competition. If you don't, we do have a website, a web page that you can look at. I'm just opening it up now. It's Let's Get Running. So www.letsgetrunning.co.uk/grassrootshero. Grassroots-hero. So it's grassroots, one word, -hero. And you will find the site and that will give you more details about how to enter. And joining the competition, celebrating the unsung heroes of British athletic, worldwide athletics, rather than just British. Yeah, three more reviews. We're racking them up now. We're racking them up, and that's all thanks to you, the lovely listener. We love it. We've got three. The latest one. We'll start off with feedback. So we had Ruby's last week. We've got one here. The best running podcast out there. 5 stars from Kieran JC95. Thanks, Kieran, JC.
Okay.
His review, 5 stars, says, has me looking like a weirdo laughing to myself on the train. Short, sweet, to the point. Like it, Kieran. Then we've got a lovely one from is it Paulio or Paleo? I'm not sure if it's, no, it can't be Paleo.
Paulio sounds better. Paulio
number 10. So he's the 10th of the Paulios. Here we go. He says, you've been listening for months. Oh, the title is simply the best running podcast around. Thank you, Paulio. 5 stars. Been listening to them for months and finally getting around to submitting a review. Let's Get Running is the perfect blend of serious topics and light-hearted fun. I particularly enjoyed the Sub 220 project and would love for Sean to attempt something similar again. Come on, Sean, do it for the good of the show.
Sean.
Then they've got the brackets.
That sounds like your number one fan.
You're there. Forgetting the brackets. The bracket says, not an OCR event, though, please, Sean. Stick to running. He's probably right. He's probably seen my chicken arms and he knows that that's too, you know, it's a long
point. Well, he don't want you to get beat by a pencil.
Yeah, that's true. Well, to be honest, I'm thinking about it because I like to think ahead, and I'm just getting my running buggy sorted, and then I'm now becoming.
Did you say running buggy?
Running buggy, you know, for baby, for prams, running pram.
Oh no, you didn't.
I'm gonna be on it, and I was thinking the other day because I'm now stay at home dad, so my wife's job is better than my job, so therefore she is going to be primary worker, right? So I'm looking after baby most of the time, so I'm thinking. This gives me carte blanche to just go and just run all day. So I'm going to be training like a loon, like easy miles, but like doing loads of stuff with a running buggy. So yeah,
you have to get your baby goggles, you know, like on a motorbike, because yes. You'll be running so fast, you'll have tears coming down.
Right? See, yeah, flies in her eyes and stuff. And yeah, I have to watch out. Greta's going to love it. She's going to be born running. So yeah, that's going to be fun. If any, I was going to say, if any running pram manufacturers want to sponsor the show, me, get in touch. I'm happy to try it out.
I thought he was going to say any listeners got a second-hand pram they don't want.
No. We want send freebies. It to you. We want freebies. I like Jaffa cakes too. If anyone wants to send me Jaffa cakes. Anyway, here we go. The last one.
Hey, get in queue. I'm the cookie monster.
You love the biscuits. Like that. That's right. And then our last review is from Aiden ACJ, and I think Aiden Johnson from Kent. I think it might be Aiden. But anyway, I think this is from you, Aiden. But it says, 5 stars, the number one running podcast, top interviews / interview guests / bus stories! A lighthearted look with a serious look at issues that affect all runners at all levels. Keep it up, guys. Aiden, we will keep it up. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nice one, everybody. Thanks for joining. Please join in with our grassroots hero competition. We want to get that. We want people to engage, that we want to see all these people that deserve a bit of limelight. So, yeah, send us in your nominations and we will look forward to interviewing the winner.
Is it the free jacket, like a £150 jacket or something?
They're good jackets, mother. They are good jackets, so check that
out. And that's for you and your hero. So you, by doing it, you get your hero a free jacket. Yeah. They really appreciate it and, you know, they get their name in the shiny light.
Yeah. Have you seen a coach that perhaps looks a bit cold in the winter months? Nominate him, get him a coat.
No, I've seen loads of coaches with holes in their jackets.
Oh, they need a new one. Let's get a nomination in. Cracking. Lovely. Right, I've got to go and pick up my little baby. Not in the pram, but on the walk-in. So I'm going to go and do that. But we're going to catch up next week, Jermaine. Good luck with the football. Yep. And we'll chat then.
Cool.
Nice.
See you, people. Bye.